This show is a production of Migration Media. To learn more about us and see a complete list of our shows, visit migrationmedia.net.
Hello and welcome to Pop Abroad. I'm Michelle Ibarra, your host, a California girl currently living in Shanghai, China. So you've made the leap, or maybe you're considering it. I've been living abroad for 10 years in South America, Europe, and now Asia, and I want to help you navigate the ins and outs of migrating to a new place. Season 1 of Pop Abroad will be all about communities, why we need them, how we can use them to get comfortable in our adopted cities, and how great community leaders make it all happen. Now, let's get poppin'.
So I'm here with Rebecca Liang, originally from China. She's been in Shanghai for 6 years, and she is the chapter co-director of the Shanghai community of Startup Grind. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you for inviting.
So tell us a little bit about your background and where you come from and why you're in Shanghai.
So as what you just said, I'm actually from a smaller town, which is called Hefei. Once I graduated, I always knew that I wanted to go to a bigger city because there are more opportunities. And out of Beijing, Shanghai, and Shenzhen, those three super mega cities, I chose Shanghai. Was very simple. Beijing is too polluted. Shenzhen is just too humid. So Shanghai, to me, you know, it's livable. It's got tons of opportunities. And plus, I got my first job offer, which is working for oil and gas industry event management company. I was covering South Asia, so I traveled backwards and forwards to Myanmar, Vietnam, Cambodia a lot. And after that, I sort of think I thought I was better, like bigger than who I actually was. I thought, I could do my own business. So I was collaborating with my one of my clients at the time. So we co-founded a company. It's a trading company. It's opportunity-based, ran for 9 months, failed, had 5 months hesitation and self-doubting period. And then I was going to go for MBA, got my offer from a French business school called Grenoble Business School. And then I stayed. I gave up the offer because it was last year in May I got the offer. And then I stayed. One part is because I feel like, so I joined the Startup Grind like 1 year, a little bit more than 1 year ago. I got into the startup thing. Then I joined my, because Startup Grind is actually, as you know, it's actually volunteer based. Then in May, I joined WeWork Labs, which is an incubator. So I thought I get to learn. So MBA basically is you learn all the theoretical knowledge plus the hands-on projects.
Yeah, practical.
Right.
That's a good program.
But then with my job, my day job in WeWork Labs, which is an accelerator, incubator accelerator, my volunteer-based job at Startup Grind, I am basically dealing with, you know, hands-on projects on a daily basis. I, you know, work on curriculums and help the startups to grow while I get to learn as well. And I get to pay. I get paid. So I'm like, yeah.
So you didn't go get your MBA.
I decided to stay.
And your volunteer opportunity is your MBA.
Yeah, so anyway. I'm programming my own MBA.
But you already had a business. So it's kind of like, you know, you already know what it takes or what's involved in having a business, which some people in the, you know, the MBA programs, they've never had a business, but it helps them kind of learn the basics and then they do it. So you did it the other way around.
I didn't know what it takes to start a business. I had no idea. I didn't know that was it could call it a startup. I just thought, it's a great opportunity. At the time, basically my co-founder, he's actually much, much senior than me. but he knows someone at the high management level at Didi. So we were going to replace the complimentary bottle of water. I just thought it's a great opportunity. It's a great project. If it goes well, I'm going to retire myself.
Oh, yeah. That's the dream. The entrepreneur
right.
dream.
I never thought it was a startup. I had no vision at all.
So wait, can explain a little bit more about your first business.
Right.
Was water bottles?
Yep.
Or the water in the bottle, the whole thing. You wanted to replace the water bottles into, you wanted to sell water to Didi, which is like a huge ride sharing platform that bought Uber, out years ago.
Right. So in Didi Deluxe, they have this complimentary bottle of water, right? At the time, the supplier is actually not good enough. The water, the pressure is too high. Once you open, the water just explodes. And Didi has the thought to replace them. And we kind of just caught in time. We know someone from the high management level, and I'm not sure if I'm...
You're like, I can do that. Water, I can do. I can manage that.
Right,
that's
right.
Pretty cool.
And because of this, whole Guanxi thing, right? I guess I can share this.
Yes, tell us about Guanxi.
Right. So why would he choose us, right? One part is Guanxi. The other part is we were bundling. So they would take some cuts under the table. And also this is, the trend of the political trend of One Belt, One Road. So we were trying to do the donation base, 1 cent. Every bottle that was purchased
by
1 cent will donate to Red Cross. Now, Red Cross is actually, I'm not sure if you know, the person who's, representing Red Cross is our First Lady. And also the water factory that are doing our OEM, the whole process is actually in Russia, in Chechnya. So that's on the roadmap of One Belt, One Road. And
it all fit, the dots all fit.
Yes, and I was, as what I just mentioned, I was in oil and gas industry. So, all these gas stations. So previously the bottles, the Didi drivers, so Didi nominate a brand, and then Didi drivers, they have to go pick it up, and then they pay. This is mandatory. But then the pickup point is just not convenient for them. So we also quite close with the national oil and gas company. So we got an oral agreement that we can place our stock at the gas station, so all the drivers, they can just pick it up very easily. So we thought through the whole, manufacturing, OEM trading, and the buyers and the supply chain, and also the logistics and everything.
You had done everything. Everything was done.
I could have, lying on the beach and just collecting my money.
What happened? How did that end though?
Didn't go to the way that I was expecting it to go. So it's completely opportunity based, right? And Didi had a lot going on in their plate, before the media release of the murder and everything.
Right, because they bought Uber. There is a big thing where, they just completely dissolved it. And
yeah,
Uber gave China a really good go, and then Didi just kind of dominated and bought them out and then dissolved them. So, now in China we use Didi, which is a really good app, too. It's exactly like Uber's.
So, so at that time, Didi just has a lot in their plate, right? They told us they want to postpone the project, but then they're not going to give us a date, when we can, gonna start again, while our factory is just pestering us, you need to pay the deposit, because the mold of the bottle are already made. We need to just pay the deposit and get this kick going. So that did not happen, but I was still waiting for to see if there's still opportunities that we can still get this going. So I waited for another 5 months. I was jobless, homeless, and going through a hard breakup as well, so self-doubting and everything. And then I thought, well, it's time to maybe get a job. So I joined, at the time it was Naked Hub, not WeWork. And I got to know Startup Grand through, because Startup Grand borrows venue from Naked Hub and we now WeWork.
They have a lot of events there.
Yeah, they have monthly events. And then I was like, damn, these kind of fireside chats are like bringing all these successful entrepreneurs or people from the corporate side sharing some insights. It's really, really helpful and educational. And all the people that I've met, I feel just talking to them is very inspirational. So I started to, you know, join more and more. And then I wanted to be part of the organization. So, yeah.
One thing led to another.
And then I just got super involved. Yeah, and then here we go.
So you started, so after the water bottle situation, you started working for WeWork. I mean, before it was, WeWork came to China and they bought this other co-working space called Naked Hub.
Right.
So you were started working there and then Startup Grind just kind of, you fell in love with Startup Grind. Because there are so many communities, but Startup Grind is, it's very much, it's special in the fact that it's so many like-minded entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs, soon-to-be entrepreneurs coming in. And you just, and now you are the co-director.
Yeah.
And what, so what's your personal plan? Are you going to start another business or are you kind of just helping facilitate other people now?
I think my current stage, I'm still quite feel very fulfilling and satisfied from my current stage. I actually joined my transferred to my current role, which is incubator accelerator role, not long ago. I think less than a year. But this is actually thanks to Startup Grind, because getting into this role wasn't easy. But I guess being part of the startup community and I guess my failed startup experience sort of helped. So I guess I want to stay where I am right now. I'm trying to build a more structured community in Shanghai for Startup Grind. Since we are getting actually more people joining into our team, I mean, internally, we're trying to structure a even though we are volunteer based, but we want people who join our organization have their takeaways. For example, my job, I think I did learn a lot from Startup Grind, and my work is actually pretty much marinated with Startup Grind, right? My on a daily basis, I'm searching for mentors. I'm searching for high potential startups. And then I bring startup to
bring them on the incubator.
Exactly. Ooh, and then they all get connected. It's
genius.
Marinated.
Yeah, it's actually perfect. Yeah, you have the perfect volunteer role and it feeds into your professional career role too. How is WeWork? How's working for WeWork in China? Now that you're in the incubator side of it, how are you finding it?
I feel I am doing exactly what I want to do and I'm getting paid and it's just super good.
Yeah. So then you enjoy going to work every day.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Can't complain then, huh?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Shaw, and I'm butting into Michelle's interview to invite you to check out my podcast, Migratory Patterns, another show in the Migration Media Network. Each week, I talk with someone who's living outside of their place of origin to explore the complex issues of identity that come from moving abroad. For those of us who have the privilege and autonomy to do it, what drives us to move overseas? How do we adapt to our new environments? And how does moving change our notions of what home means? With over 270 million people and growing living outside of their countries of origin, how we think about the concept of home, along with things like national identity, friendship, and family, have the potential to shift cultures all around the world. So join me each week as I talk it all out with the folks who are blazing this new trail for humanity. Visit migrationmedia.net to learn more or search for Migratory Patterns wherever you get your podcasts.
In terms of the Startup Grind, that community, and then you have the WeWork incubator community, do you see women, maybe let's say specifically local Chinese women, are there a lot of women joining or is it still more men, male dominated?
I would say still more male dominated. It's hard to change. Like women and men get to sit down together, like at the same time in a business table, that's not long ago, right? And I always make joke about it, like a life jacket is not, initially it's not even designed for women, and there is no place to put your chest, right?
I was gonna say my cell phone.
And wigs and boots, high heels, those are designed for men. So women, I don't see we're dominated in this market. Especially I work with a lot of startup founders. I would say majority of them are actually still male. But I'm very glad to see we start to have more female entrepreneurs. And more importantly, the organizations, doesn't matter, like MBA schools or corporate innovation programs or accelerators, they do favor female entrepreneurs in a sense, actually.
I do think that, and I've seen it over the years in China, in Shanghai, that more women expats and Chinese are really starting to get involved. It's do you think it's a confidence issue, or do you think it's funding, or why do you think more women are getting involved but so slow in comparison to men?
I think this is more of a societal question. I think men has always been, you know, up to the front to do all the, you know, work. But I want to elaborate a little bit more on China, right? So China is very different. In China, you see like the younger generation ladies, they're really hustling. They work extra hours, and they just want to, you know, get out there, like be present. I was actually just discussing this with my friends yesterday, and we think China is so unique because we were only being fed 40 years ago. So when we are educated, when we're fed, there is no reference we can use to check. So like our previous generation, our parents, our grandparents, their mission is just to, first of all, not to die, and second of all, make enough money to survive. But coming to our generation, we are educated and we don't have to worry about food. So we started to think, what do I want to do?
What's next?
What can I do? Can I make a change? Right? And I a lot of my friends and colleagues, they quit their jobs and they think they can and they want to make a change. At least this is what I see in China. Like my parents' generation, they still pretty much, so my parents manipulated me, like my whole time when I was, you know, living with them, they just want me to be a teacher. Or
a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
But they're not wrong to their own views, because to them, this is really a great way to live.
Success.
Yeah.
That's a success. Stability. Stability and success.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's all parents want, I think, and their children to be happy. But in your sense, you're like, I'm going to Shanghai and you got into business. How did they react to, how do they feel now that you're, you know, working in business, working at WeWork?
We never knew I had a business.
Oh, well.
when I was broke, you know, I had 83 RMB in my Alipay. I had to live in different friends' place. I remember one of my friends, she went to Italy for a month. So I stayed at her place for a month. And then I went to a different friend's place, just basically touring around.
Couch surfing.
Yeah, oh, wow. they never knew.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And now, what do they think about what you do now? Are they proud of you, or how is it?
It's hard to say. I don't think my parents fully understand what I do. They don't really know what is an incubator. Like, what's the point of having an incubator?
Yes, I think the startup scene is also pretty new in China. Mm-hmm. I mean, globally, I think a lot of people are getting into business now, but specifically in China, because like you said, 40 years ago, there was no food, and now there's an abundance of everything. Mm-hmm. So I think just they still don't quite understand. But I do find that like China is like a really good representation of government and business. The big businesses and the government are like best friends.
That is true.
And so going forward with that, like you were saying earlier, Guanxi, can you explain a little bit more about what is Guanxi and why is it so important in China and in business?
I would actually redirect Guanxi to the sense of community. So like in ancient time of China, the Chinese businessmen, they like to like just bundle together, be a group. And they use guanxi a lot. They use the word of guanxi. I would say it's a sense of community, a very initial sense of community. I help you because...
You help me, I help you.
I help you, not the other Michelle or another person. It's because probably we're both from the same hometown, right? Mm. Therefore, we have this guanxi. So before in China, we have... like this like association kind of thing. Like we have Zhesheng, Huisheng. They're just basically businessmen from the same hometown. And then they bundle together, they prioritize each other on business. Like it's not really fair, but then I would say that's actually a sense of community at a very initial stage. And to redirect that back to how do I see the guanxi is slowly transitioned to the sense of community. Like what startup brand is building is actually, I don't need to know you. I'm sitting here, you know, talking to you, having this great conversation with you. It's not because we're from same hometown or we have some sort of guanxi, right? This is more of we're a community. We want to give back to the community and contribute and help each other. And so is what I think what Startup Grand is trying to build, and so is so many, you know, other communities trying to do, including my daytime job, Weaver Labs, or what we are trying to do is build a community, actually.
I mean, you have. I mean, how big is Shanghai now? It's a big one. I know it's big, but how big is it?
How big do you mean?
The Shanghai Startup Community.
Shanghai Startup Community. Wow. I think in Startup Grand Group, we have five groups, and it's like each of them are 500 like people, 300 people.
So in the thousands, in the 2,000-3,000.
But then not all of them are necessarily startups or founders. They can be in this chain, this circle. They can be any other role in this circle that will be benefited from this community.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an amazing community. When I was talking to Sabrina, she was telling us the origin story and where she's from and how she got involved in Beijing and how it's helped her tremendously in lots of ways. Similar to you, it's nice that it goes right into your day job. That's perfect. You're living the dream.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. It's actually, I feel grateful on a daily basis.
No, it's very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge community in Shanghai. And I like Sabrina and I were talking about that there is a lot of autonomy that you guys have. Every community for Startup Grind around the world, they kind of build it up from the ground up by themselves. Mm. And so, wait, how long has the Shanghai community been around now? Do you know?
2014, if I'm not wrong.
Okay, so about 5 years as of right now. You guys have a few thousand members. And how many events do you have monthly?
We have monthly fireside chat. We have an annual event. So we just had the huge one at the Explorium. It was like 800 attendees. We were expecting 500, but then it was huge, actually. So we have the, you know, the regular ones, monthly fireside chat, and then the annual one, so a huge one each year. And then we have a small by invitation only Founders Day as an appreciation of all the speakers that we've invited. We bring them all together as an appreciation to contribute in this community. So that's pretty much what we, what's on our agenda.
I love it. Well, can you tell me a little bit more info about a successful event you've had, a smaller one, maybe a fireside chat? Give me an example. Give us an example of one lately that has been phenomenal and kind of the topics at the fireside chat and why that one particularly was so special.
I would actually go for the most recent one, our annual event. This time is actually the first time we tried out at this scale. We named the event China Startup Ecosystem Summit, and this is the first time we tried out do an actual exhibition with seminar together. So we have this Innovation Valley where we put all the startups and the community ecosystem partners to have a booth, and then they showcase their products. And we have the seminar where we invite, you know, all the top players in the different industry. Like we had a CFO from Luckin Coffee. We had the innovation program leader Omega 8, which is actually from Walmart. So Walmart innovation program head of innovation program, and Bayer head of innovation program. All these big names, they really brought some inspirational insights and talks to the audience, I believe. And what I was really impressed is actually we were only targeting Shanghai, but then the message just got around and it became a huge gathering, like a celebration and a huge learning fest from like all over China. We had startups flying from Guangzhou and Xiamen, Shenzhen and Chengdu. They flew to Shanghai to join us.
Wow.
And then our different startup grand chapters leaders, they actually flew to Shanghai to support us. And this is where we feel really touched, because when we have been prepared these events for months, everyone is just exhausted. And on site, you have to do troubleshooting and everything. I'm like, oh, God.
And this is a volunteer
organization
creating this giant conference.
Exactly. And then our fellow chapters leaders, they came to Shanghai, they show up with Startup Grand t-shirt, and then, right, how can I help you? Right, I need someone to take care of the Innovation Valley. The power sockets are not working. Can someone help? Like, people just like would do it. And this is the power of community, right? So I would say the event, from two point of views, internally and externally. Internally, I see how we are glued to each other, because we have the same mission, and we may have different reasons to be part of this community, but we want to, we are heading towards the same direction, that is to be educational and inspirational to the startups and to make great connections. So I was really touched. I mean, we're all volunteer based. It was on a Friday. You have to take a day off.
Wow. That sounds amazing. I can't believe you guys pulled that off. That's huge.
Yeah. And then after that, all the different chapters, we sat down together on a Saturday. We just had a day of, I would kind of call it the internal discussion or meeting. Basically, what are the takeaways? How can we do better? Right? Lesson learned from this and other chapters too. Any successful cases? It was really inspirational. And we don't get to, get together like this quite often.
All the managers from the different cities.
And for us, like our personal connections, when you go to Guangzhou, you go to Shenzhen, there's someone you can reach out to, and you will be plugged into the local community.
Yes.
Right.
That's why I love communities. I think that's the power of them. And I think for women, when we move abroad, sometimes we feel alone, and to be able to plug in, like you said, into a community, it's so vital.
Right.
So important.
Right.
And a lot of the reason why people don't enjoy their life abroad is because they are not plugging into these communities. And there are so many of them.
Right.
And Startup Grind is a perfect representation of a well-done community, a well-done created community that is for volunteers, by the volunteers, for everyone. Tell us how, because we're in China, the Startup Grind here, is it through the WeChat or is it still, it's through the website from, Serena said startupgrind.com, but do you have a WeChat as well or is it still?
Yeah. So we all have our chapters. We have our WeChat account so we can publish the upcoming events and people can stay tuned.
An official account. Do you have? Okay, yeah. Great. And what's the tag for that?
Startup Grind Shanghai. Yeah.
So if there are any entrepreneurs out there who want to join a community that's for you completely, then Startup Grind is the place to be.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining in and hope you start popping abroad soon. If you want to learn more about the community mentioned, info will be in the show notes. Want to connect? Know a global community that's helping expats live their best lives? Let me know. Find me at Pop Abroad on Instagram. Pop Abroad is proudly a part of the Migration Media Network, where we share with you the stories of the migration experience. Check us out at migrationmedia.net for all of our shows.
This has been a Migration Media production. To learn more about the lives of international migrants and see our lineup of shows, visit us at migrationmedia.net or look for us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.